Deathwatch.
Welcome to the Nameless Horror, a Call of Cthulhu 7th edition investigation by Death Watch Productions. Our investigators are in the small eastern Pennsylvania town of Stowell, each for their own reasons, and that is where we will rejoin them. But first, we'll introduce them, starting with Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm playing Oscar Herman, an undercover FBI agent, also undercover Wipers Pals initiate or hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Currently in Stowell, investigating on their behalf in hopes of gaining entry, like full entry, into the Wipers Pals. About to probably shoot up this mansion.
Hey, is that Wipers, like, the Battle of...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'm Travis. I'm playing Rob Rumble Wolf, former Missouri heavyweight champion, that is. And hey, you know, I don't know if these folks are going to see God through a telescope, but I tell you what, they can dance with the devil right now. Let's get him, Mr. Herman.
My name is John. I'm playing former Boston PD, Tony Ray Spates, who is just happy to be here and be part of the team. He finally feels like he belongs again.
You almost went full Rodney for a second there, Travis.
And also is looking forward to shooting up the old mansion.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so in the last session, you guys, Rob and Tony, had got to the mansion, and Oscar was creeping around outside after following the bus here. So just to recap, you had seen the Reverend introduce people to the professor, and then you had seen a man go back behind these curtains into another part of the house, and when he came back, whatever happened back there, he seems really excited and happy about it. So that's where the session had ended. And Oscar, you were looking around outside, and you'd seen that there was a member of the kitchen staff outside having a smoke in the cool night air. You were approaching and made more noise than you wanted to, but he didn't seem to notice at all. And so that's where we'll just pick things right back up. So I've shared a map with everybody. Do you see it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, Rob and Tony, you guys are in that main hall there, and there's people milling about and chatting with each other around these tables of food that have been set up. And you can see off to the left side there, there's a little platform upon which the professor stands, pretty close to the reverend, and then there's some curtains further back there. To your right, there's a door that the kitchen staff keep coming in and out of, bringing more food and whatnot. So that's what it looks like for you. But now that one person came back, and he's this one excitedly talking with the Reverend there. And now what you presume to be that person's wife, because they arrived together, is speaking with the professor, and then they're going to be heading back there. And then Oscar, you can see that waiter out there having a smoke, and you're sort of behind like a manicured tree there, and you can see light coming through some of the windows, so you know that that's the kitchen there. But we'll start with you. What would you like to do?
Man, I think I might just, what do we got? Is this to the north, I guess? Is that, looks like a separate building?
Yeah, it's a greenhouse.
Okay. Man, I think I'll bide my time. Just hang out, let him finish his smoke, let him live for today, maybe. Man, because I don't think I can make it through that kitchen probably without getting seen. So what's the point? Yeah, we'll hand off the guns, hand off the triggers.
Okay.
We'll just let him finish his smoke in peace.
All right. Tony, what would you like to do?
Well, I think if I remember correctly, the plan was to try and resist or leave even if they were going to force us to try and go back, or we just start knocking people out. So I'll look over to Rob to see if he gives the nod. These fisticuff arenas, these are more his playground than mine.
Okay. So, you know, a couple minutes pass by, and the professor leads that woman back behind that curtain and disappears with her. And then the man who had gone through first, he comes over to the table over here, and he's, you know, getting some food. He seems real hungry, but also seems just really excited and happy because he's a little bouncy there as he's eating the hors d'oeuvres that are provided. And then Oscar, you see that guy, he's still smoking out there, that waiter, but then you see another man poke his head out through the door, and he shouts at him, even though he's like right there. Mm-hmm. He shouts at him, "You're not getting paid to smoke. Get back in here. There's work to do, you know." And so that guy goes back inside the kitchen there.
All right. While he is heading in, I'll try to get to the door before it closes.
Okay.
So what about there?
Yeah, that's where the door is. And actually, let me fix this. Yeah, so I'll fix this door real quick. But yeah, that's where it is. And you can see when you get up to it that it's not locked.
Okay.
Like they're not locking it or anything.
All right. So I'll sit there for a couple seconds, and then before it closes all the way, like, is that room busy?
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and you could see through the window out there too, that aside from the person who came out yelling and the waiter that you were watching, there's three other people in there busy about their tasks, cooking stuff and chopping things and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if I can just talk my way past them. What would Rumble Rob do?
Hey, you know, I saw you had the TV on. I'm just wondering why you had the TV on.
Have I seen any of the first floor windows, like with rooms that are empty on the circuit?
No. So, well, actually, yeah, because when you first arrived, and I'll move your character around so you can see. So when you first arrived, you were coming from this direction here.
Okay.
And so you could see through this window. And this window, this is the dining room.
Okay.
There's nobody in the dining room.
Yet. Okay. Are they,
that you have seen.
Does it look like they're prepping it? So it's like intermittent or?
No, it doesn't look like anything's going on in there.
All right.
Yeah. So it doesn't look like they're setting it up or anything.
Okay. So maybe instead I'll head back that way, just try some windows, see if I can jimmy one open.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a window here.
But if I have to make a climb check, this will end in blood.
Okay.
Much like what was his name? Ah, dang, I can't remember Brandon's Borderlander all those years ago that couldn't make it into the White Cloak compound.
Yeah, what? It was it Garrett Jacks? Did I name him Garrett Jacks?
Maybe.
Can't remember.
But yeah, if I fail my climb check, I will just go through the front door, guns blazing.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't call for a climb check, like the sill is, you know, sternum level. So you just need to.
Okay.
But yeah, you can make it to that window there, and then we'll move over to Rob. What would you like to do, Rob?
I want to get this guy to talk about what he saw, but I'll ask Mr. Spates. Mr. Spates, you really want to let everybody have a look through that telescope before we intervene in this? But let me find out what this guy saw if he'll spill the beans.
Okay.
Yeah. And the only way that I could think to stop it is volunteer to be next and try and break it.
I think we can stop it. We just tell that professor there are not going to be any more people going back.
Unfortunately, we're all too intelligent.
I look around. There's a lot more of them than there are of us.
Yeah, and but unless really
we
want to
start shooting.
I can take all the women in here. You can handle the rest. But yeah, give me a second. Let me see if that guy will talk about what he saw.
All right, because if not, I mean, plan B is on the table, which is I can volunteer and try and destroy the telescope.
Okay. Yeah, I'll walk over to that the fella that has seen already.
Okay.
Like, hey, mister, anticipation's killing me here. What'd you see? You gonna give me a sneak peek?
All right, so yeah, you move over to him, and he's, you know, eating food, and he just looks unreasonably happy. like smiling, and he looks over at you and his smile gets even bigger and he's like, oh, it's amazing. You're not going to believe it. I don't want to spoil the surprise.
No, you don't get it. I'm asking you to.
I just couldn't.
Is there any way I can convince him?
Yeah. So you could try, you know, whatever method of convincing you want to try.
Don't understand, guys.
Well, I'll go with the, I'll try to lean on my charm end of things. I'm like, oh, don't be like that. You know, it's, come on. We're in the same town. We're basically friends.
Had about as much teeth as a jack-o'-lantern.
I was like, but I had my mouth guard in. That probably threw off.
It's like Robin Hood Men in Tights when the Brando character pulls out the cotton ball. Sorry, I just came back from the dentist. I just got out of the ring like 6 months ago.
Don't forget your mouth guard. That's what they told me. So I never forget it. Oh, yeah. Anyhow, for the listeners, I rolled a 90 against 55.
Which is not good.
Wow. That's a lot of fail. Not that matters. This game likes rolling 90s.
Yeah, no, I need my Cthulhu luck in my D&D and my D&D luck in my Cthulhu. Mm. I like the fours and fives, which translates to a 20 or 25 on a D100.
Not to be a... like a game master's pet here, but if you're rolling 90s in D&D, I'm calling you a cheater.
Well, it'd be an 18, right? On a D20? Sure. But yeah, I should say that. That's what I'll do with 90. The kids when I start playing. I'll be like, oh, I got a 90. Amazing. Oh,
that's a critical threat.
Okay. Yeah. So you're over there and he's popping food in his mouth and you're like, hey, come on. Why don't you tell me? And, you know, you're not pulling off the charm. And he's got that, like, you know, that look like, I don't know the word for it, but like bemused. He's got like a bemused look and he's like, trust me, you're not going to regret it. But, and then he leans closer to you and he's like, but honestly, I really can't tell you because they say it's different for everybody, what you see. I don't know if that's true or not because I haven't talked to anybody else, but my wife's back right now. So when she comes out, I'm going to see what she saw and see if it's the same. But I'm telling you, it'll absolutely change your life.
All right. I guess I just got to wait. Thanks anyways. And I'll go stand back by Mr. Spaeth. But maybe I can sort of lurk around and eavesdrop when they have their little reunion.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and move to where you want to be and then we'll...
Who's the guy that just came out? Is that Denzel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, I'll kind of go over to this other table, try to stay within earshot, tune my ear to what they're saying.
All right. So yeah, you can go over there. And are you going to eat some of the food?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be like sort of putting some under my hand or a little plate if they got it, but not really eating because I got to keep my ears open.
Do you also hear the disembodied voice of Herman telling you about... Wendigos.
Right.
Wonder what he meant
you ever
by
heard
that.
Of a Wendigo? I can't even eat anything in peace ever since I heard that story.
What if I eat bread?
Does that make me a Wendigo?
Is that a problem? You don't understand. I'm ravenous. Stay away.
I'm turning into a Wendigo.
Ever since you told me that story, I eat nothing but salads. What's wrong with me? Salads aren't what a Wendigo eats. You're fine, Robbie.
Well, you're a native, and it's like a curse. So, yeah, that's the setup for the horror story.
Now in your imagination, I'm like making weird yeah. hand symbols, and I got face paint on.
Okay. So, let's go to Oscar. How do you want to get this window open?
Let's see. Do I got a... I guess I don't got a pocket knife or anything to kind of stick under there. Guess I'll just try to... flat palm it.
Well, roll luck.
Oh, okay. 47 under 64. Was that? Did I roll sanity? No. Okay.
You got luck.
It's about the same.
Okay. Yeah. So you got a pocket knife.
Yeah. So I'll take that and try to force it under the sill and or whatever it is and wedge it up.
Okay.
The window. I guess the sill's below the window. If I did that, would I just lift up part of the house?
All right, yeah, so you're able to get that under there and pry that window open.
All right, and then I'll try to get on in there. hopefully land quietly enough so the people on the other side of the, in the prep room don't hear me.
Okay. Yeah, so it's no problem for you to climb in there, but as you do, that's when you see, let me open this here. You see that there's this woman standing here in this corner, and it looks to you like she's hiding, even though there's like nothing to hide behind, but she, the way she's hunkered there, and she's dressed like a maid, and she's, you know, just like back up against the wall there.
Like facing out or facing like the corner?
Facing you.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's a door. One second here. So there's the door here that goes into the kitchen from the from this dining room. So she's like stepped out of the kitchen and she's here in the corner, like, you know, hoping nobody notices that she's there or whatever. But she sees you and she's shocked, but she doesn't cry out. She's like, who are you? But yeah, she's dressed as she's dressed in a maid's uniform. And she's a, you'd guess probably about early 20s with a careworn but attractive face. And she's like, who are you?
Name's Oscar. Fortunately, I didn't see you hiding there as you are.
So let's do your.
I got to persuade.
Charm or, yeah, one of those social skills there.
47. Was that under 60?
Awesome. Okay. She's like, you're not going to tell on me, are you?
Are you going to tell on me?
And you can see a look on her, like, cross over her face, like, confusion. But then she's like, you mean you're not supposed to be here?
Not in the least, ma'am. Checking up on your boss, I take it?
Oh, the professor.
Yeah.
I've been here. Psychology.
No. 63 over 50.
Okay. So, yeah, she's like, yeah, I work for the professor. Why are you interested in him?
I'm just checking. Some weird stuff been going on in town, and a lot of it points back this way. I'm a writer by trade. No.
Okay, so you can tell, like, she's suddenly become very nervous, and she starts, like, sidling towards the door. She's like, I gotta get back to work. We're pretty busy, but I won't tell anybody. I won't tell on you, but I gotta get back to work.
Well, you have yourself a good night, ma'am. Is there another door, like, over this way or over here or something? Or do I have to go through that prep room?
No, there's another door further down on the other side of the room. But she gets to that door there, and she starts to step through it. And she stops, and she looks back at you, and she whispers, it's dangerous. You better leave. And then disappears into the kitchen there.
All right. Yeah, so I'll head over to that other door and...
So the other door is right over here, yeah. And this is a big, nice, ornate door, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll poke my head out.
So opening that door, you know, because it's a double door, and you can open up the one side so you can see, and you can actually see Tony from here, and then all the other people gathered around those tables, and you can see Rob there too by one of the tables.
Dang, no convenient pillars. Almost wonder if I might just stash my shotgun like under a table here and walk on out, pretend like I've been here the whole time.
Okay. While you're thinking about that, Rob, you're getting yourself situated in order to be able to eavesdrop.
Would have been so much easier just come on the bus.
When that professor comes out from behind that curtain, you see him look at the first man who had gone through, and he motions him over. And so that man goes over to talk to the professor outside this curtain, and the reverend does as well. So they're far too far away for you to hear anything.
We're sorry, sir. Your wife died from a major sand loss. Mm.
She's now a gibbering mouther.
Yeah, thank you. I'll kind of look, you know, cast a greedy look, wishing I could hear what they're saying. Since they went out of the way there, then I'll... make some small talk with this lady in the hat.
Okay.
I'd be like, you know, it's kind of funny. All my time coming up in church, they always used to, you know, there's those stories that say you look at God and, you know, no human could be destroyed. Like, I seem to remember Moses, they'd, God placed him in a cleft in the mountainside or whatever, put his hand over him, and he could only look when God was walking away. So doesn't this seem a little odd to you? Looking at God through a telescope? I don't know. I don't want to be a, you know, bring the party down or nothing like that. But
all right. Oh,
sorry, my name's Rob, by the way.
Okay, so yeah, you go over and talking to her, and you can see that her husband is like giving you like a disapproving glance.
My apologies, sir. I didn't realize the two of you were together.
But, yes, this is my wife, and but you can tell when you're saying that stuff to her that you might as well be reciting the
Bible
formula. Yeah. Like it, none of it means anything to her, but she's polite. So she's like, she's got that excitement that they get, not because they're interested, but because they like the interaction. So she's like, oh, so you spend a lot of time reading the Bible? What, you know, and she starts asking you questions about it.
Well, not by choice, let me tell you. But yeah, I guess I picked up a lot of it because that's how it came up, you know. What about you, sir? Did you catch what I said? Maybe I'll direct that to you. Congratulations on the wife, by the way.
He's like, yeah, I couldn't help but overhear you, and that was my belief as well. But this is a reverend, and, you know, he's the expert. He's spent his whole life studying this. So I think that's the whole point of heaven, a reverend, honestly. I mean, who of us has time to study it as deep as he? I mean, it's his job, for crying out loud. He does it for a living. You know, me, I just sell tools.
You're probably right.
And my wife, she keeps the home. But, I mean, even if there were 48 hours in a day, what do you think she's going to figure out, huh? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I guess.
So while this conversation's taking place, these three waiters come out, and they're bringing more food. Anyway, yeah, these three waiters are bringing more food out, putting it on the tables there. And Tony, you're just standing there by yourself, away from the tables and away from other people, and just watching everybody. So, you know, you look kind of strange. Or, you know, for whatever reason, this waiter here that's close to you, he like whispers back over his shoulder, "Get out." But he's not obvious about it. He's very surreptitious about it. And he still continues going on about what he's doing, putting the food on the table there. But he does whisper to you, "Get out."
I'll whisper back, "I want to leave, but I don't know how."
So it seems like he didn't hear you because he keeps going about putting his food on the table. But when he finally finishes and he's got his tray in his hand and he turns back towards that kitchen, he whispers again, "Dining room." And he nods his head over to the right side of the room. There's a big ornate door on the other side of some bookshelves. Then he indicates with his head, but then he continues on with his tray back to the kitchen. The other waiters eventually follow him as well.
I forgot how to ping things in this.
I just did the double mouse click kind of signal to Brandon. What is it?
Right over here. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that one.
That's where he was pointing. So anyway, and you know, then the other waiters, and while that was happening, this man goes back behind that curtain with the professor.
So when he goes back, I'll make my way over to this doorway then, as quickly, calmly, and quietly.
Okay. Yeah, so you make your way over there to that door. While that's happening, Rob, you see the Reverend come over, and he talks to this woman that's up by this table here close to the stairwell, and then she follows him back to the professor to head back there behind that curtain. Oscar, you can see that Tony is approaching the door you're peeking out of.
All right.
Doesn't seem like he sees you.
Yeah, I'll slip back and I'll kind of go over that way by that one small table, and I'll wait for him to come on through.
Okay.
I'll end up heading through. As mainly, I want to come over and take a look and see what's in here, is see if this might actually be an escape or if this guy's just putting me on.
Okay. So, well, when you move over there, Oscar, at that same time, a different waiter that you hadn't seen yet, well, you'd seen him through the window, but a different waiter comes in, and he comes over this direction. Mm-hmm. You know, he sees you, but he's like, "You guys have to get out of here." And you happen to catch that, Tony, because it's right as you enter, and this waiter here is saying, "You guys got to get out of here. It's not safe."
Told that pretty little maid that I got business with your boss. I'm going to see it done. Well, you know, here's my good friend.
So I'll come back and I'll Oscar and turn to that waiter and say, yeah, what exactly are they doing to those people back there? Have you ever seen it?
All right. So you say that and he's looking, he's like, there's a telescope and I don't know what it does, but when people look at it, they change. And
they look in it.
Some people, they look through it. They look through the telescope and whatever they see, it changes them. I don't know what it is. I was hiding one time, or maybe they didn't even realize I was in the room cleaning, but they set people down and it's this massive telescope the professor built a few months ago. And they look through it. Some of them come out and they're way smarter than they were before. And some of them come out and they're ruined. Hmm. If you guys have spent any time in town, you might have seen that old man climbing the telephone poles. He just suddenly looked through that telescope and he suddenly understood how all these circuits and wires work. And then I don't know if you've seen, but there's a woman who sat in it and suddenly she started building these magic radios that people can talk to each other no matter where they are and the sound is perfectly clear. And it doesn't matter what time of day. It doesn't matter if there's a storm. It doesn't matter how far away. But then there's others that are ruined, and some of them get mean and
like them drinking boys. Well, or was it Jenkins?
Yeah.
Jensen.
Sorry.
Jensen. Yeah. Absolutely. Jensen was one. Jensen was one of the higher functioning of the ruined ones, and they put him in charge. But even a couple of the other waiters, you know, most of them are used for slave labor. Some of them function high enough that they can be trusted with a little more important things, but they're definitely ruined. And you guys got to get out of here. Don't look through that telescope. It's not worth it.
Is there any other way to get deeper into the house back towards that telescope, or do I got to go through that room out there?
That's the only way. The only way is behind that curtain. And at this point in time, that the chef that had yelled at the other waiter earlier, he sticks his head into the dining room and he shouts at the waiter that's in there talking with you. So the way that he, you just recognize him by his voice. You don't actually see him because of the angle. So, you know, he can't see you either, but he sticks his head in that dining room. He's like, I know you're in here hiding. Quit shirking work and get back out here.
Before he turns away, I'm going to ask him, give him a very, very basic description of, that guy with the anvil for a face and club for a hands? Tell him to come back here if you can.
He's like, I'll try. But then he darts off back towards the kitchen there. And as the door closes, you can hear that chef yelling at him about being lazy, you know. But, then he's gone.
Good boss.
I'll make my way over to Oscar and give him kind of give him the rundown of what happened since we came in. Tell him that as they've taken when I was coming in here, they've taken so far three people back. Now Rob went over to try and get some information from one of them, as didn't look like he was very successful, but he's hanging around over there by their table. The guy's wife had went back second. She never came back, but they did bring another person back already, or take another person back already. As my plan, even if we find out what's happening, is as we basically volunteer to go back there, try and break the thing. I mean, unless they've got a lot of people back there, then I don't really see where they could stop us. I mean, all of this is supposed to be voluntary. It sounds like they go back there and look through this thing on their own. But as if that fella can get Rob back here, maybe we can make a new plan, maybe a distraction, get their eyes away from it, and you can sneak on back there.
Maybe.
So Rob, one of those waiters that was out there putting food on the table, he comes back out and he mumbles an apology. He says, I forgot something to the people at large, but to you, he whispers, your friends are in the dining room. They need you. And then he grabs something off the table and darts back into the kitchen.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I got to find a bathroom around here and I'll wander off.
Okay. Yeah. So you start wandering towards the dining room, and that woman that you were talking about or talking to, she's like, oh, actually the restroom's right over there. Mm-hmm. And she points to this small door right here.
I'll just, what'd you say?
Lazy smile and wave and keep going. Works every
point,
time.
Point to your ear.
Right. Yeah. Cause I got those cauliflower. Yeah. So I'll just be like, I'll just give her a dumb smile, but keep walking.
Okay. Yeah, so you can make it to this dining room and head in, and you can see your friends are there conspiring together.
Waitstaff really wants us out of here, Rob. Or say that that telescope's no good. What do you say?
Yeah, that's my intuition. Huh? What do you want to do about it?
Well, Tony here is thinking about a distraction. And try to get us back there. Hmm. At least one of us and wreck it.
Well, I could probably go pick a fight with that. That wife or that lady's husband out there. If you want, he's already half mad at
the
me.
Wife.
I won't hurt him or nothing, but I can cause a ruckus if you like.
Part of me thinks maybe we just let this happen. Come out after everyone's gone. See what they're really like.
So what? Just head out to the property, hang out, wait till everybody goes, and then come in and have the place to ourselves? As I would imagine. That there's probably not this much wait staff, except for on nights like this.
All three of you do a listen for me.
Regular success.
Fail.
Is that hard? Hard success.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll kind of hold up a hand, I guess, real quick, if I hear anything.
Yeah.
I could be hard of hearing.
Yeah, you got a hard success.
Yeah.
And then Rob, a regular.
Yep.
Okay, one moment here. You do hear something, but let me... Okay, there it is. All right. So, you guys are there talking about your plan.
Mm-hmm.
And this wall that you're right next to, you know, is... Well, Rob and Tony, you came through the main entryway, and you know that's right on the other side of this wall that you're right by. Also, there's these big windows that you can see out of, and you catch... Just a glimpse of like a car had arrived, and there's some burly looking dudes coming towards the front entrance, but you can't see well enough to get any details. But in that entryway through the wall, the thinness of the wall, you both hear, you know, some scuffling and some arguments. Oscar, you clearly hear a woman's voice saying, "Let us go." And then a young child's voice saying, the same thing. Let us go.
Oh, man.
And then some struggling. Humble. And so that's what you hear. And Rob, you can hear a scuffling going on in there, but not like any details. But you do know that there's someone protesting. And so that's what you hear. And then, and then you hear, yeah, you do clearly hear a voice, a gruff voice saying, "You should have minded your own business and kept your mouth shut." So that's what you guys hear.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll kind of whisper, "Looks like our new arrivals are bringing guests that don't quite want to be here."
Can we see who they are? You said this was coming from the side of the wall or outside in the window area there?
You're hearing it come from the other side of this wall that you're standing by, because you know that's the main entryway.
Okay.
That's where you're hearing it.
So... I'll nod over to the window area there and try and kind of post up by it. That way I can get a glimpse out. If someone were to come out that front entry, maybe.
I think I'll head over towards the ornate doors and start peeking out again, seeing if I can maybe see them. I don't think they'd bring them into the main dining or the hallway, but never know.
Okay, one moment here. Yeah, so when you get to that window and you peek out, Tony, you see there's a car out there with the doors open, but nobody in it. But that's all you see. You don't see any people out there.
Okay, so either they're maybe waiting or they're already dragged this guy in or this person in from there. So,
yeah, that's the impression you get since you heard the... Well, yeah, you didn't hear anything. But yeah, they must have already come in. And then... Oscar, you're going to look at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one second here. I'll put it up. So, okay. So, yeah, Oscar, you get to that door and you peek down so you can, like, peek around these bookcases.
Okay.
And you can see down the line. And you do see three burly, rough-looking men come into this main hall, dragging Marion and Rosemary Ellis, and the one saying, "Step aside, Reverend. We got some troublemakers." And they're heading towards that. They're angling towards those curtains there.
I left my shotgun on the table.
Okay.
Okay. So they're angling towards.
Yeah, the curtains.
All right. I think I might just kind of start walking in, try to blend in.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, from what you can tell, everybody's eyes are drawn to that scene, so.
Yeah, I'll just start heading in. I'll start kind of making my way towards the curtain along a, you know, a different path.
Okay. Yeah, here, just, yeah, are you able to move or tell it where you want it?
Let's see. So where's the curtain? Or do I not see it from my angle?
All the way to the left side of the room.
Okay. Yeah, it's looking like it's letting move now. So yeah, I'll kind of maybe make it about like there, kind of just following a couple steps, well, not a couple steps behind, but a good little bit behind.
All right, so let me get these guys on there first. Okay, can you see all of them?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so you step out and that's what you see is those guys, and they're moving that direction and they're telling the Reverend, "Step aside, we got troublemakers." All eyes are drawn to this scene.
You know, like how those people that break into like snazzy parties, they say you just kind of act like you belong.
Yeah.
I'm going to just kind of try to do that with these guys and see if I can just follow them right on in.
Okay. Rob, what would you like to do?
Yeah. So I imagine when he hears the door or when he opens the door, I hear more of what's going on.
Yeah.
So I'll go look around the corner and then see what I see and just start Terminator walking towards the three roughs, not saying anything, not drawing attention, but walking purposely right to them.
Yeah, you see Marion and Rosemary being hauled along by these guys. Based on the bruises, it looks like Marion didn't come quietly at some point. Rosemary doesn't look like she's taken any injury, and she's constantly kicking this dude in the shin, but, I mean, she's tiny, and he's a big dude, like, you know, your size or more. And he doesn't even react to it. He's just pulling her along there. But her braids are disheveled. But that's what you see.
You also unfortunately see that I'm one of them.
So you're going to follow?
Yeah.
And then, Tony, what would you like to do?
Am I able to recognize the voices of those two?
No. Okay. Like, you don't know them.
All right. If everybody else is going out, spot hidden to see if I see the shotgun.
You left our demise on the table.
Okay. Probably.
I think he shoots better than Whitmire.
Luckily, Whitmire, I didn't see it.
37 or something.
So yeah, I'll head out as well and make my way, follow right behind.
Okay.
Now I got to be able to persuade. I don't have fast talk, unfortunately.
It's all right. I think we've all got enough intimidate to...
Am I intimidating? No. I'm persuasive.
All right. So this group keeps moving along and the Reverend, you know, stays out of their way, but they're moving towards this curtain there.
Yeah. I mean, they get that far and I'm like, that's far enough. Everybody stop what they're doing right now.
Okay. All right. So we'll have you guys, we'll say you guys are following.
Okay.
You're just a little bit behind. The Reverend has come out and he's got his hands up towards you saying, "Oh, there, wait a minute." And that's when Rob says, "That's far enough." And then they all stop and they turn to look at you. All the people by the tables, they're like, you can hear a pin drop in here. But the Reverend's like, "Wait a minute now, you can't go back there."
I'll handle this one, Rob. Okay. I'll walk up and punch the Reverend.
Nice.
Okay.
That was less words than I was going to use, Mr. Spates.
Like it. Well, that works. That's, Tony walks up. So go ahead, Tony. Extreme success.
This is when I reveal my master plan, and this was a robbery all along.
Let's see, the Reverend. Nice. The Reverend will try to dodge. Hard success.
Uh-huh.
That's cool. So go ahead and do damage.
I like the idea that he was doing like mission work down in Brazil or something, so he knows capoeira. Is it Brazil or is that Jamaica? I can't remember. Or one of the islands. Jamaica.
Anyway, so yeah, so you clocked the Reverend a real good one right in the jaw. And then...
That's an extreme hit. It should be your max damage, right?
Yeah.
Does it just roll? Oh. No, my max damage was 1d3 plus a 1d4 is what it says.
I wonder why it didn't.
Maybe it doesn't trigger if he rolls from the skill. Did you roll
from the skill? Yeah, I rolled from the skill. That's probably why. So it'd be 7 damage.
Depending on his hit points, you might have wounded the poor guy.
All right, so yeah, 7. So that is, yeah, that does knock him out cold. So he drops to the ground. That would bring us to Rob.
Yeah, I'll keep striding towards those guys. Mrs. Ellis, grab your daughter and you walk to me. And nobody else make a move, but I'll walk right up to him.
Don't anybody do nothing?
Yeah, I let her go, and I'm holding my action to make sure all commands are obeyed. And if they aren't, then I guess I'll unload.
Okay.
I'll give them a second to... I'll wait till whoever's holding her to let go. And if they don't, then I'll act at that point.
Okay. Yeah, so they don't let go. And the one in front here, he steps forward to you, and you can see he's got a...
Ring his bell.
you can see he's got some brass knuckles on his fist there.
I like a fair fight.
Okay.
But yeah, he steps forward with his dukes up, but that'd trigger your...
Yeah. I'm not sure if it happens before or not. You might have to double check on that. If you're at all concerned, I don't mind waiting or going before. So
one way you get to potentially dodge and then counter.
Because it's cool to duck his shot and then...
It's also cool to take it on the chin.
Right. Whatever happens.
Yeah. It's unfortunate if he drops you on your ass.
I do have that soft spot now. Get knocked out easy. What happened? I'll talk a lot of trash and I always get knocked out during the brawls every time.
And my vengeance was upon him. Well, no, that's you coming back. Is there anything left to even scrape up after I was through with him?
I go into blind rages. You're just knocked out, Rob. Nah, that can't be.
Yeah, Robbie, you did a good job there. Don't worry about it.
Well, I don't care. So we'll say that, because you were holding yours ready, then it'll be you.
Okay.
He steps forward to swing at you, but you're ready and waiting, so.
Yeah, I had one chambered, so I'll fire it off at him, metaphorically.
Ba-bing.
Maybe I had that, my right hand in my pocket with the brass knuckles, my fingers threaded through it, so I was just waiting for him. And then, bam, right on the chin, we'll see how we do. With my new and improved 81. Hard success.
All right, so he'll fight back.
Nice.
So we'll do a brawl for him. He also got a hard success.
Was it default to skill? Or is it attacker defender type thing in this?
Yeah, I think they had to achieve a
draw. A draw equals initiator wins, which is you. So.
All right, so here's damage on that. 5.
Do you not have him targeted?
Oh, I don't. Sorry about
that. That's all right. I'll put it on him.
I fell out of the habit of it.
Okay.
This is Thug 2 I'm facing off against.
Yeah, I put it on there. So.
Okay. Well, for the future.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So he steps forward, take a swing, but you're too quick and you clip him really good for 5 damage there. That's it for you?
Yeah.
All right. So one of these other guys back here, the one closest to the curtains, he looks to the other guy there and he's like, come on, let's get him back there. He can hold him off. And they start pulling Rosemary and Marion into that room there. And then this guy will take a swing at you, Rob. Try to counterattack you.
Okay, I'll just slip it.
So he got an extreme success.
Oh, man. Don't got the luck to buy it down to there.
So clips you good in the side of the head with his... brass knuckles for 4 damage.
That ain't nothing.
And then, let's see, he's dragging them in. Rosemary and Marion are screaming, but Oscar, that brings us to you. Because of the way they're struggling, trying to get Rosemary and Marion in there, they got the curtain, like it's pushed aside a little bit so you can see that there's an open door there, but you can actually see past them at this massive apparatus that's in that room back there.
Yeah, I also don't want to risk taking a shot that way. They're all lined up real nice and neat. Is there a tax opportunity if I was to move past this guy?
I just read that last week, darn it, and I forgot.
Yeah, either way, I guess I won't risk it. I'll move up next to Rob and start trying to lay some real quick fisticuffs on. Yeah, that's what we'll do. Lay some quick fisticuffs on Thug 2, hopefully get him down. So this would be with the penalty or bonus?
So you'd have him outnumbered. So yeah, you would get a bonus die.
Yeah, 47 under 65.
Is there a limit to how many times you can fight back?
There might be penalties if it's in the same turn. I don't know how it works.
I see how it works. So that outnumbered bonus die you got only happens if they have dodged or fought back as many times as they have attacks, which in this guy's case it is because he just has the one. But okay, so yeah, he'll try to dodge your blow though. So you got a regular success. So did he. So you are successful. So go ahead and do your damage. Two damage to him.
Light tap.
Okay. So yeah, where is he? Yeah, you hit him for two damage there. And then anything else for you?
No, I think I'm good.
All right, Tony.
Okay, so they're fisticuffing this guy. Would I be able to go kind of around him at all or no? Like I'm thinking like this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you could.
Get to here?
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay, so I'll get to here and then I'll take a swing at Thug 3.
Oh.
Extreme success.
Nice.
All right, so he's trying to hold on to Rosemary with one arm, so he isn't going to fight back. He's going to try and dodge. And so you got, you shouldn't have done that damage yet, but it's okay. He'll try and dodge, but he fails. So yeah, you take, and you've got what? Do you have a weapon?
It's his fist.
How did you do 7 damage with your fist?
Extreme. It was max.
Extreme. That maxes. Nice.
So he's got his fist, which is 3, and then his size, which is 4. Yeah.
Okay. So you...
So walk up and belt him one.
Yeah, well,
and,
that's...
And say you better let them go.
Well, he might not hear you, because I think you just...
Brain him.
Knocked him out.
Yeah. Hit a weak spot and caused maximum damage. Popped him right in the temple.
Meanwhile, the Reverend is back there, like rubbing his jaw. My grandma hit harder than that.
Yeah, so that is a major wound. So he immediately falls prone.
You're embarrassing me here, Mr. Spate.
Yeah, so he's got to do a constitution roll to see if he even remains conscious. So let's try it. And he doesn't. You knocked him out. Just one shot right to the temple, pop. Nice. And he falls to the floor there, knocked out.
Home run.
Does he do the, where they kind of like go stiff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what he does. So he falls to the floor there.
Yeah, so I just, again, restate what Rob was saying to let him go. And if I can, I'll tell, what is the girl's name?
Is it Rosemary?
Rosemary.
Yeah, I'll tell Rosemary to get behind me. As go over, get behind me and over by Rob.
Okay. All right. So then, Rob, that brings us to you.
Yeah, so I want to do a fighting maneuver because I got to keep moving forward. And so, as we're boxing each other up, I'll slip one of the punches. He overextends, and then I shoulder him to send him stumbling one way, right?
Okay.
Out of my way, basically. So that's what I'll go for. My size is 1.
All right. So you are trying to, successful maneuver. His size is the same as yours. Yeah. Okay. So you're trying to push him out of the way.
Yeah. But I was thinking, duck and
rope-a-dope him.
Yeah. Kind of use his own momentum.
That's it. If I'm stuck fighting this guy alone, you don't knock him out.
Yeah, so he can...
I'm a small guy.
Dodge or fight back...
Stab him.
...as normal.
With a bullet.
And so that's what he'll do. He'll fight back. So he'll try to punch your lights out.
Oh, okay.
Regular success.
Oh, man.
He got a regular success.
So let's do the initiator.
To you, yep.
Yeah, so.
I was wrong last time when he was trying to dodge. If there's a tie on and they're trying to dodge, then the defender wins. Mm. But it's okay. It's all right. We'll just chalk that up as a lesson learned. You just got to live and learn. You know, every day is the learning experience. Okay, Rob. So he tries to fight back. He takes a swing, but he misses. You duck it and you want to shove him out of the way.
Yeah, and then I'll just...
And you want to shove him, what, I assume, away from Oscar?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to shove him into Oscar or,
so we'll say that
or you, Mr. Spates. It doesn't much matter where he ends up after that.
We'll say you move him here. Me.
And then I'll move right up to Rosemary.
Okay.
And all that's right. My turn.
Okay.
See, I just put him in the killer's way.
All right. Mr. With Spates, with a terrible curse, this one shoves Marion into the room the rest of the way and slams that door. And you can hear a click as it locks. And then...
Great, I'm going to have to fight a door.
Oscar, do a spot hidden.
61 under 70.
Okay. So as he pushed Marion in and shut the door, you do see that he has drawn out a revolver out of his waistband. But
means it's justified, the actions I'm about to do.
So this guy...
Besides, now you get a 66% chance of hitting one of the two guys we don't care about.
This guy, rather than re-engage with Rob, he's just going to take the opportunity to swing at you, Tony, since you're right there with his brass knuckles. So do you want to dodge or fight back?
So what is the fight back option?
You just do your brawl, and whoever has a better success does the damage.
You can also do a maneuver as fighting back, too.
Yeah, you could do a maneuver. Yeah,
the odds are in your favor, because I think, well, it depends on what your skill at dodge is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but was it dodge that needed the higher success, or was it fighting back? I seem to remember getting...
If
sounded like it was fighting back.
Right. If you dodge and you tie, then you successfully dodge. If you fight back and you tie, he wins.
Okay.
So dodging goes to the defender.
Fight back. Extreme or hard success, sorry.
Yeah, and he also got a hard success.
Could I spend luck to make it a extreme?
Yeah, you could spend 12 of your 26 luck.
I will.
So what's that looks like? Okay. It looks like he should have got a good clean hit, but something...
So you're using 12 luck to make it an extreme success?
Yes.
So let's do... So you'll need to do your damage and click that little, or I guess, what is your max damage? Seven?
Seven.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that would knock him out. Might even kill him. Let me.
It ain't no big. It's just fractured orbital sockets. Skulls grow back.
You learn to knock out thugs. If they hadn't been named thugs, I don't think I would have been Fumbles. So good. But on the, on the force, you know.
Apparently, it's thugs all around. And reverends for you.
Like, well, they're just like thugs.
Punch so far. Thank you, Mr. Cohen, Mr. Speed.
I'm pretty good at hitting. I don't know how good I am at taking a hit.
It's your favorite enemy. You're a ranger.
Civilians.
Reverends.
All right. Yeah, that definitely knocks him out. So, yeah. So, you know, he's taking a swing at you and he's like behind you. And, you know, it would have definitely connected, but in the act of you spinning around, it basically just grabs his fist and makes it travel along with you. And then you pop him in the face and he just drops like a sack of potatoes on the ground. And that's it for him. So Rosemary, she like attaches herself to you, Rob.
Yeah. I'll be telling her to stay behind me.
Like she was being brave before, but now she's crying. Now that she's safe, so she's like grabbed a hold of your leg and
you gotta get behind me, kid. Don't bind me up. I gotta go through that door like the Kool-Aid man.
It doesn't exist yet.
And then
time paradox.
Oscar, your turn.
Fish and meld.
From my little bit of time peeking through them doors, what do I think my chances are of going through this? Low? These look solid?
It looks like a solid, well made door.
All right, I'll draw my gun and move up to it.
But as you're doing that, one of the, well, more than one, but one is doing the speaking. One of the people that were here, the visitors, she steps forward And she's moving towards that entrance, and she announces in the most important tone you can imagine, "I will be calling the police."
That's when my gun rings out, and I try to put, I'm going to try to pop this lock and kick open the door there.
Okay.
See if we can do it. What is it? Door right there?
Doors, yeah, right here.
All right. Oh. What do you want me to roll for this lock pick?
Yeah, so what exactly are you trying? You're going to, like, shoot it?
Yeah, but it'd be probably about where the latch is, or would be. Was it? Are they closing in the center?
No, it's just one. It's a single door.
Okay, so, well. And hopefully it ain't heading down the hallway, but.
Okay. So let's do, yeah, what would your max damage be for that pistol?
Oh, what is it? 1d10 plus one, I think.
Okay. Roll the max damage and then give me a luck roll.
So it'd be 12.
Oh yeah. 12. Okay. You don't need to roll, but give me a luck roll.
Luck. There we go. 21 under 60. Hard success.
All right.
Nice.
So then I'll follow it up with a kick to open it, if you let me.
Yeah, so you definitely shoot it in the right spot.
Is it held fast by magic?
Then you give it a kick, and it flies open, and so you can see into that room there.
All right. Oh, that's a big old telescope.
Yeah. So when you step in, you can see that you can see a few things. That there's a man and a woman up in the top left corner, and the woman is like sobbing, and the man is like providing the most pathetic attempt at comfort. You can see the look on his face. He's like patting her, but he's looking everywhere but at her, and he's got like a look of disdain. And then over here, you've got the professor, you assume. Or no, you saw his photo or his portrait. So the professor, and then he's speaking with the woman. But now there are, he's more like using her as a shield and backing up towards one of the windows there. And then on the other side of that telescope, there's like a big desk with a typewriter and whatnot. And that guy you were chasing has Marion, and he's holding her there, and he's like using the desk as cover.
All right. So
pointing his revolver.
Yeah. If I'm able to, I'll step in and to the right, and I'll have my gun up and trained on him. Okay. And that'll probably be where my turn ends.
Yeah. You could get to here.
Okay.
This big bookshelf here. And the telescope itself does provide obstruction. I didn't do it on the map like I should have. So,
okay.
But it definitely will provide some cover. Okay, Tony. So your move, Tony.
All right. So I
Oscar
imagine
disappeared behind that curtain there.
As I'll tell Rob that I've got this out here as you help Oscar. And if I can, you're going to enjoy this. Run over here and punch this lady too.
She's all right, man. Calm down, Mr.
She's going to go call the cops. As we don't need Alexander here just yet. We're not quite ready for him. But he'll get his comeuppance.
Did it do an extreme hit on her?
You're going to run over and punch her. Okay, so you go charging over there.
Oh, no.
And you get an extreme success.
I'm so sorry, John.
It's like a 85-pound woman. So go ahead, and you got your 7 damage.
Jesus. Shouldn't go hitting women.
Well, again, I'm not quite ready for Alexander, but he'll pay for every person I have to knock out in this room tonight.
If he halves the damage, can it be an open hand slap?
Yeah, something to not break her neck.
After you kill her, just scream at the rest of the room that it's their fault.
Why did you make me do that?
Oh, man.
Okay.
I'm the one supposed to have the murder problem.
Well, you didn't know he was going to have all these extremes in the chamber, but we ought to have it being John and all.
Yep.
I've been rolling so terrible the rest of the time. I mean, something like this was bound to happen.
This is where you get to do the quote about a candle burns brightest right before it's snuffed out.
Then it'll come the luck roll. Start firing through the walls or something.
Oh, yeah. Like, not one will be near me, but they'll all wind up in John.
All of them will end up in Tony.
So the description was he fires wildly through the walls into the next room, but then his shot pattern is like this on John.
Curving bullets.
All right. So I just got to get the right. Yeah, that should work. All right. So, yeah, you run over there and you knock her block off, literally. And then
tell everybody else, stay where you're at. Does this all be over shortly?
I'm not through punching y'all yet.
Rob, that'll bring us to you.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with this kid, but...
Have her get the shotgun.
Grab that shotgun over there. Yeah, I'll just tell her to stay behind me, grab onto my belt, don't let go, and I'll just head into that room because I don't think I saw anything about a gun yet. So, I'll follow Mr. Herman into the room. Are you putting that skull and bones behind the lady?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on, man.
All right, Rob, you go charging back through the... and what did you tell Rosemary?
I just told her to grab onto my belt. Stay close. Don't let go.
Okay.
Because if you let go, I'm going to have to look for you, and I don't got time to look for you right now.
It's like one of them dances. You follow my moves, we'll be fine.
All right.
Next thing you know, she's shadow boxing in a storm.
Okay, so yeah, you go into the room and you end up right next to Oscar and you can see this massive telescope. It's got a seat on it and it, you know, it's up on this apparatus so it'll move. And then you can see that one guy has Marion back behind that desk there and he's got a revolver. But it's hard to see because this telescope gets in the way.
Okay.
And he... That guy with the gun there, he points it at Marion and he says, "Don't come any closer, I'll kill her."
I'll take Robbie hostage.
Oscar, your turn.
And then he'll be like, "But I want you to kill him." And then he'll be like, "Do you?" Look into his dreamy blue eyes. Are you sure?
I got so much to live for. I was a contender. I'm going to kind of start getting, like, moving this way where I can see him better.
Okay.
I'll have my gun aimed at him. What's that professor doing? Just backing towards that window still?
Yeah.
I'll keep my gun on the thug, and if it looks like he's going to shoot at Miriam, I'll put one in him.
Okay. Well, I mean, he does have the gun pointed at her, but, you know, he's, like, holding on to her, and he's like, "I'll shoot her."
My wisdom... As a vet says that if you're going to shoot someone, you usually stop talking. Mm-hmm. So if he's still talking, she probably ain't in danger yet.
Okay.
Maybe put the gun down.
Okay.
You can walk away. I don't want you. I want the boss or your boss.
Okay. And then the boss, he's like moving back over in this direction, but he holds his hands up. He's like, "Wait, stop. There's no need for this violence. I'm trying to help people." That's what he says. Tony.
Who wants some more?
So she's, this woman on the ground is not breathing.
Oh, John, oh, buddy, old pal, man. Come
and
on.
Everybody else there is like, got shocked looks on their faces. They're not moving.
I really don't have much medicine to speak of.
Just declare that you regret nothing, and you would have done it again.
Out of sight, out of mind, right?
Just pull a rug over her?
Just step up here and look at everybody coldly and say, "Does everybody just stay exactly where you are until this is all over? Because no one else needs to get hurt.
We'll have to mutilate you."
Already, action, whatever.
A running punch.
They have in this, yeah, a running flying punch. But just wait to see if anybody doesn't heed my warning.
Okay. So yeah, right now it looks like they're all pretty shocked, but that one guy over by himself, he's like, you know, stepping a little, and he's looking directly at her, and he's like, "Margaret,
did I see them together before?"
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Sorry, you're gonna have to get a new wife. This one's no good.
Should have kept her on a tighter leash.
I'll try to make him see reason.
She wouldn't shut up. She's going to call the cops. What was I supposed to do?
Just, sir.
You made me do this.
You'll try to make him see reason, you said.
Yep. That's you the said, end of a fist.
So, see reason.
What was that, like, maybe a fast talker, a charm? If you had just kept her under control, sir.
Hey, sir, be reasonable. She's dead. What are you talking to her? Come on.
She ain't hearing ya.
Oh, Jesus.
Zola. Right, if he's triggering the action,
you gotta
then
sit down, sir.
I'll head up to him and give him one.
This is character growth, Brandon. He went from being shocked at the way the what were they? Not realtors, but bank enforcers killed, just gunned down the person,
and now he's.
He's become the thing he doesn't meet or that he hated.
I'll kill anybody who approaches.
I think that you had said it best a couple of sessions ago, which was, and we put a stop to whatever's happening in this town, but people are going to get hurt along the way. That's at least how I took it.
I'm just going to use your excuse when I have to kill everyone in this house and then burn it to the ground.
But can I make it up to him and let that action loose?
Give me 1 second here.
Join your wife. Oh, his fists are like marital bliss now. Those are his right and left gun. Making sure couples stay together. This life or the next.
It's also administers divorces, as he just did in this case.
Not unless he keeps them together. If this hit rings true.
Okay. So, yeah, he's stepping forward, and he's like, Margaret, and then you can see rage across his face, and then you run forward to attack. And then he...
Just a hard success this time.
Yeah, he's actually going to fight back. You see that he picked up a carving knife off of that table, and he's going to fight back against you. And he got a regular success, so go ahead with your damage there. All right. Yeah, so you're punching him. So you killed his wife, and he made the mistake of stepping towards his dead wife, which caused you to rush over.
Well, he picked up a weapon, too. Let's not forget that.
Rush over and defend yourself aggressively.
Yeah,
exactly.
I had preemptive
defend
defense.
Myself as aggressively as possible so no one else thinks that they can have a weapon.
I like it. All right. And then it's his turn, so he will try to stab you with this knife. So you can dodge or fight back.
I will attempt to dodge this time. Oh, no.
This is the...
Knives
That's,
is one
I
weakness.
Shouldn't have changed it up.
Okay, so yeah, you try to dodge out of the way, but you're not successful. And so he does 4 damage to you with this knife.
Killed my wife.
Way things are going, it's a good thing you got that kid holding your belt. She probably wander off, find the shotgun, and shoot herself.
You know, so you already got that knife wound from the cleaver in the restaurant. Now you got another one. He stabs you on the other side of the chest there. And so you're actually getting pretty low on hit points. Something to think about. And then...
got to punch harder.
Marion. So in this room over here, Marion's being held hostage. And Oscar, you got your gun pointed that direction at that thug. You know, he's looking at you guys and he's saying, stay back or I'll shoot. Not paying as much attention to her as he should, given the situation. And she snatches up a letter opener off that desk and stabs at him. So
I want to make a character that always like kisses their gun for good luck before they shoot. So that way if I fumble, I just decimate myself.
She got a hard success. And he's going to try and dodge it.
You better calm down, though, before she gets out there around Mr. Spades.
He don't take kindly to people being aggressive. Oh, man.
Those aggressive actions in others bring out the aggressive behavior in me.
He doesn't pull the car
passive
over to the side of the road.
Passive actions in others also do that.
He just flips the car over to the side of the road.
So yeah, she snatches up, as you're watching, she snatches up a letter opener and she stabs him like right in the thigh. And he gives out a scream, and that enables her to break his grip on her, and she darts off this way.
Hmm. Does that, I guess it technically doesn't, because how specific is it in this?
For what?
Like the action stuff, like delaying, is it like letter of the law type thing, or?
Oh, that's what I was a little foggy on. I thought it was pretty open because it was always at the conclusion of another action.
No, that's cool. We can keep it. I said if he goes to shoot her, if I got stabbed in the thigh, I'd figure that's my next action anyway. So undo it then.
Okay. So she darts off that way and he's like screaming curses at her and trying to hold the blood in on his thigh or that's coming out of his thigh. And Rob, that brings to you.
Okay, I'll start. She started running up that way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'll start moving up that way too.
Careful crossing the line of fire, Robbie.
Yeah, I mean, I'll come behind you. That's just where I want to end up. I don't want to trace out the...
Because the way the luck's been rolling, you never know. Get that poor kid in line of fire.
What's this, a stack of books on the floor?
Mm-hmm. Probably. I used that procedural generator one that I was telling you about.
So. Oh, okay. Cool.
So you run up here then, and then what else?
Yeah, I'm just telling Mrs. Ellis to get over here.
Okay, Rosemary follows along, and then it's his turn. So, you know, he's like obviously in a panic, and he's screaming in pain, and he wheels towards Marion with that revolver to shoot her.
All right.
So, Oscar... You can see what he's about to do, and you were waiting for it, so go ahead and take your shot.
So is this number in yards, or is this not accurate for this map?
In yards?
Yeah.
Is that how we do it in this?
Well, like my, was it, range is 15 yards, so.
You're within that. Yeah. No, that's not accurate.
Well, if it's your extreme dex rating in feet, that's your point blank range, and then you get a bonus. So that one might matter to you. Mm-hmm. So, like, mine would be within 11 feet is point blank.
Mine would be 8.
All right. So, you can count each of these as 2 feet.
All right.
So
outside of the point blank.
All right. So, I'm going to shoot at him. Is it just one shot, or is it? Could I do 3?
You can.
All right. So,
but he's
penalty?
Gonna,
Is it multiple penalty because of the telescope, or just the one?
Just the one.
Okay. So, first shot, 66. Do you want me to roll damage as I go or just roll all 3?
You just roll them all. All
right. Second shot. Ooh, 99. Ooh, that's close. Third shot. All right. So 1 hit, 2 fails.
1 luck.
Yeah, we'll do it. So 2 hits, 1 fail. 63.
Yeah, so do your damage then.
4, 6, sorry, and another 6.
All right, so yeah, so you take a, he's turning to shoot Marion, but you pop off some 3 shots at him. One misses and shatters one of the windows behind him. Another one hits him in the chest and the other in the throat, and he drops to the ground dead without having fired a shot at Marion. And then it's at this almost exact time that you hear, I mean, it's hard over the sound of the gunfire, but you hear shattering glass. And see that this professor has fled out this window. And then Rosemary, Oscar.
I will run over to that window and see if I can get a shot, if I can reach the window. So you can move me. That's the direction I'm heading.
Yeah. So you can get to the window, but when you get to it, you don't see him anymore. And it's, you know, it's dark outside, so the light only goes so far.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing to indicate which direction he went, just that you don't see him now.
All right. I'll end my turn there, kind of gun out, scanning that darkness, maybe seeing if something twitches.
Okay. Tony.
All right. We'll attack this guy again, try to put him down.
All right. So he'll try to dodge.
Can I spend 3 luck to make it a hard?
Yeah.
All right. So hard success.
Okay, so he's going to dodge, and he got an extreme success. So he dodges the way out of the way of your punch.
You found the secret boss.
He's just a regular dude.
I always knew.
He's just a regular dude.
Cue the Final Fantasy music.
But he'll try and stab you again.
All right, we're going to walk fight out back this time.
What's that?
Fight
oh,
back.
No.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that still can be like a fell forward. Like, you grab the knife, slit the guy's throat, and then you get blood on your hands and arterial spray on your face, and you look at the
think
rest
that
of the
you've
people.
Seen the end of old Tony Spates.
All right. So he missed.
Crazy in his at the end.
No, he missed. So even though you fumble and you're trying to dodge and you fumbled. So basically, you know, you go to step out of the way of this incoming knife and you trip on your own feet and you wind up sliding across the smooth floor and you end up under this table here.
He is pretty wounded, so probably staggering about.
What happens when you fight everybody in the mansion?
And then you take a damage from bashing your head on the leg of the table.
When the cops show up and he rolls a luck roll, he'll probably like critical that. And so they think he's just one of the poor right. victims. Of
Look, somebody beat him up pretty bad.
Everyone at the party will be like, no, he punched that woman to death. And I couldn't believe it. Look
this
at
looks
him.
Looks like it was done
like
by
angel.
A professional.
I think he came in through the side here. Knocked out the or killed these people and then rushed in and shot that other guy all in one smooth motion.
All right. And then that breaks the spell on everybody else and they all take off running. Everybody else that's in this room, they go tearing out of here at the speed of light. So
they've all moved away after this is said and done. And they get a knock at the door one night. They open it and it's guy that's vaguely familiar from their nightmares, and then just a fist comes rocketed into their face. I told you to stay down. Still.
That maid comes in out of the kitchen and she stops right here and she screams as loud as she can when she sees the dead woman there and then the blood and this guy with a knife. So she starts screaming and then just continues because why not? And then Marion rushes over to you, Rob. And embraces you, and she's like, thank you so much. I thought I was dead. And then it's your move, Rob. So there's in here anyway, there's nothing more, no more danger. There's no bad actors in here. This guy and this woman over in the corner, the woman doesn't seem to have noticed what's going on. She's just sobbing and rocking back and forth. And the guy is like looking very uncomfortable, and he's sort of edging over towards this window. But it's your move.
Yeah, well, I'll get the family reunited here, and I'll start heading. So she's, maybe I'll take a closer look at these two people while I'm sort of soothing everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the fellow that went in first, and this is his wife.
Yeah. Yeah, so that woman, you've seen a lot of that. She's,
slow look.
She's got that look now, yeah. And, you know, she didn't have it before, but she does now. And then this woman down here by the window the professor fled through, close to Oscar, she's like, hey, it's supposed to be my turn. As if the rest of this didn't happen. She's like, it's supposed to be my turn. She's got like a desperation about her. But she starts actually like moving towards the seat of that telescope there.
Well, when I have Marion and Rosemary behind me, I'll start, you know, with this guy, I tried the shucks approach, but now I'll be a little bit more purposeful with, so you're going to tell me what you saw in that telescope, buddy? This time I'm not asking.
Yeah. Do your intimidate with a bonus die. Actually, do it with two bonus dies.
Hard success.
Okay. So he actually starts, like his bladder lets loose and he starts forming a puddle at his feet and he's shaking and he's like, don't hurt me. I'll tell you what you want to know. Oh. And let me find it because I writ it down. Let me. Anyway, so he tells you that. I don't know how, but the professor found a cluster of stars. And when I looked through it for a while, at first I didn't think anything was happening or anything was interesting. I mean, it's a cool telescope and the stars are cool, but then I started hearing a voice talking to me and I felt a great mind focus on me and give me its blessing. That's what other people who have sat there that didn't get ruined have said. And the professor told us all that whatever we were interested in or good at would be magnified a thousandfold. And that's what happened to me. But my wife wasn't so lucky. And so I don't know why, but some people, it ruins them.
Well, this telescope's got to go. Mr. Herman, you see the professor out there?
Well, you know he's laid on the floor. The professor.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, you don't see him. He got away.
Yeah, I'll start making my way down that way. And so what you want to do?
What was my exact mission for the Wipers Pals? Was it to destroy whatever's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's like, if there's something that ought not be, put an end to it.
Oh, man, I might have to go clean some other houses here after. They don't want any research. They don't want none of it.
No, I mean, any information you can bring back to them, they'll take. That's but like the main mission is if there's something that's not supposed to be, that's unnatural, your job is to put an end to it.
Darn it.
And he had said, if you remember, he had said that this is the sort of thing you got to see with your own eyes, because even if he told you, you wouldn't believe it, and that sometimes even if you saw it, you still wouldn't. But it's the Wipers Pal's job to put an end to it.
So, yeah, I'll take my eyes off the window where I was staring out and lower my gun, and I'll be like, I think we should gather any information, like personal logs that the professor might have had. Then after that, I think we burn everything down and bust anything that looks odd.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
All right. Maybe you should get them two out of here.
Okay.
Not that I don't know that the hallway is a worse murder scene now, but I don't know that yet. Even though we probably could have heard Tony's punches from here.
I'll tell Salma that she's lucky she's in here with us and not out there, because she was all like, it's supposed to be my turn.
Yeah, and I think...
Yeah, get the people out.
Yeah. You two over there, get out of here. Yeah, you too, ma'am. I don't think you want to look through that thing. And I'll kind of lean over close to her, look what it did to the other one.
Yeah, she panics. And you can tell by the look on her face. And she's like, yes, I do. And she starts darting over towards the seat.
Shoot her.
You know what to do.
Mr. Spades.
Shoot her. But that was, okay, so Rob, you're...
Clever girl.
What are you going to do with Marion and Rosemary?
Yeah, I'm going to start walking them out to where we were eating snacks and whatnot.
Okay.
See what's going on out there. Try to put a stop to that.
That said, I'm kind of curious to see how she turns out. Not your...
Maybe watch it while it's occurring, basically.
Tell me everything that's happening.
All right, so you can come back out here, Rob.
Avert your eyes again.
Yeah, is Mr. Spade still in the process of fighting somebody?
Yeah. Well, right now, he's actually underneath a table. And he's being advanced on by a man who's holding a knife. And the man's screaming, you killed my wife. And there is a noticeably dead woman. Like, the whole front of her face is caved in, laying on the floor there.
Well, my read on this is that they had, like, a sleeper in here.
Mr. Spates never would have done that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll go and disarm that fella. Will be my plan, however long that'll take.
This is your moment to shine. Save me from this madman.
Dude, we're going to have to, was it, of mice and men, yeah.
Look at the flowers, Mr. Spates.
Look at the flowers. I did good, didn't I? You did real good, Mr. Spates. You did real...
And there's also that maid over there, and she's still screaming. And then the waiters show up.
Oh, no. Is who knew that Charles Williams' twin brother was working here all along?
There's the one that had warned you, and the maid, they seemed like they were with it. You can tell by looking at one of the waiters for sure, which is the one that initially Oscar had seen outside the kitchen. That one's like, he's been affected by the telescope in a negative way. the chef comes out as well, and he is like, he takes a look around and he sees you and he's like, get him. But they're not moving yet. And then Oscar.
I have an unfortunate realization. Do my orders also want me to clean up the people that have been blessed?
Well,
or is that more left up into the open there?
Yeah, no.
Because it technically shouldn't be, right?
Right. Like, you, first of all, like, you wouldn't know how to tell.
Okay.
For sure. And it's not the kind of organization that,
okay,
you know, just wants to go killing people just in case.
Well, that's why now, they have Mr. Herman. He does what the organization doesn't want
to
do.
Like, the way he explained it to you, like, if you found out they were
plotting
shapeshifters,
okay,
or if suddenly they grew tentacles out of somewhere they shouldn't, that's unnatural. But okay, just a person having intelligence, there's no way to safely eradicate that unless you could know for sure.
So. All right. So, do I hear anything going on out in that room?
Yeah. I mean, you hear a screaming woman.
I could figure that could be from gunshots.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess I'm going to get around over by this desk and start kind of rummaging through it real quick, but I'll also be kind of keeping an eye on Miss All Eyes on Me.
Okay.
And I'm looking for like research documentation, journals, just anything. Hopefully something that can start being stuffed into pockets.
Okay. Yeah. So the thing that seems the most relevant is, you know, a book on the desk that, you know, a nice thick leather bound book that when you open it, you can see that it's Professor Hart's journal.
All right. I'll stuff that into the waistband of my pants.
Okay. But there's nothing else there of interest, at least related to what's going on here.
You see what you want yet, miss? Time's getting short.
Yeah. So she sat herself up in there and she's looking through the lens there, and she doesn't respond to you.
All right. It's getting close to time to destroy that then.
Tony.
All right. I'll get myself from under the table.
Yeah.
And go hold his dead wife hostage. No.
And go knock out the maid.
yeah. Charge back in and let him have it.
I mean, you do see Rob came in now, and he's got Marion and Rosemary with him over there.
Yeah, this psycho with a knife, though, he'll kill us all.
Okay.
I was just standing there, and he starts beating on his wife.
It's a regular success.
All right. So he's going to fight back.
Yeah, he ran back in, but his luck ran out. Oh, no.
You know, just because of the way you approached, it's more expedient for him to swing at you rather than the knife. So he tries to punch you there, and he got a regular success as well. So you win the contest there.
Minimum damage.
Yep.
Okay. And then it's his turn, and now he'll try to stab you with the knife. So either dodge or fight back, sir.
Fight him back.
No, oh, nice.
Okay, hard success, or
yeah,
I'll
he
do
missed
the four. Oh. Well, too bad. I did the four luck to turn it into an extreme.
Okay.
That lets you unload your seven damage.
Yeah. So do your max damage then.
Why do I hear the racking of a gun? Oh, my God.
As I don't know how do you make it do max?
Well, it's just seven. You did your seven.
All right. There you go.
Yeah.
Naturally needed. It.
Okay. So that knocks him out.
What is it? I seem to remember there was some way. Was it like control clicking or something?
Yeah, there's a way. I can't remember now. All right, so that knocks him out. You know, that chef is saying, get him, stop him. But the...
It's shift and double click.
Okay. The one waiter seems to be obeying the order because he goes rushing towards you, Rob. The rest of them turn on that chef. And, you know, because you know at least a couple of them had trying to warn you away, so they know what's going on here. So they turn on that chef and they start swinging at him. And then the maid stops screaming and she joins in with them, kicking at that chef. I mean, it's hard to say why. Maybe they just don't like him, or maybe they're on your side. But Marion is like, we've got to get out of here. The police will be here soon. And then the reverend starts stirring. He doesn't wake up, but he does start stirring on the floor over there. And Rob, it's your turn.
Yeah, I picked this as one of the ones that had been ruined, huh? The waiter that's coming at me.
Yeah.
Well, not going to be able to talk him out of it. So I'll go meet him as he's running at me and try to put him down.
Hulk smash?
Yep.
You won't like me when I'm angry. 29, nice.
Hard.
So you're going to go up to him?
Yeah.
So yeah, he's going to try and fight back? But he failed, so go ahead and do your damage. The waiter only has a 25 brawl.
For 5.
Okay, so that's more than half. So let me do his constitution. He fails that too, so that just knocks him straight out, just like that. So he falls to the floor. And then those other waiters that are wailing on that chef, one of them turns back, the one that had warned you, and he's like, you guys got to get out of here. We'll cover for you as best we can.
Thank you.
Oscar, that brings us back to you. So Oscar, in here, you've gone through the desk and found the things that are interesting, which is just a journal. And it, you know, it's a nice journal, but there's also some loose papers in it, like drawings and stuff that are related to, you know, just at a quick scan. They seem to be related to this telescope or to the stars or whatever. But that woman falls off of the seat of this thing. And right away you can see that she's just like drooling and hits her head pretty hard on the floor. So she's not conscious.
Right.
But it's your move.
I'll walk around over to, what is it called? The eyepiece of the telescope.
Okay.
I'll see if there's some way I can break it easily. Like, this looks like it's probably going to be pretty thick metal, so I don't really want to shoot the actual tubing. But, you know, maybe just shatter it. Shatter the lens piece.
Yeah. So it is. Like, a lot of it's real thick metal. And like the metalwork looks like it would be something that was made before telescopes were a thing. It's like a artistic, but all of the eyepiece and all that is all very fragile and very specific. So it would take nothing at all to destroy it.
Yeah. So I'll just slam my, the butt of my gun into it or something like that. Try to just at least crack it. Hopefully it will be enough to make it where other people can't hurt themselves with it.
Yeah. So you know, the eyepiece shatters and then you've got there's the focuser and you can, you know, that's just a small little handle you can break off of there.
All right. And then, I don't know, maybe pick her up and start heading out towards the dining area. Get everyone out of here so that way I can probably burn this place.
Okay.
Need to find some accelerant first.
All right. So you pick her up and you take her back out through here where you can see Rob's knocked somebody out.
And possibly killed a woman.
There's a dead woman next to him whose face has been caved in. And then there's the maid and a couple of the waiters are savagely beating the chef over there. And now Tony's standing above another man who's got a knife in his hand. And then...
Jesus, Robbie, what'd you do?
You can hear, you know, when you come out here, you can hear the waiter who initially had warned you away saying, you guys got to get out of here right now. The cops will be here, or the police will be here soon.
So, do we need to destroy this telescope still?
You asking me? Or,
yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We need to destroy it.
Never ending loop here. All right.
Until you punch me.
Yeah.
Look, don't hurt me. I'll do what you say, Tony. All you got to do is ask.
Better set this place on fire then.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Does this have electricity or does it have candle lamps?
It does have electricity.
Are there any oil lamps or anything that I can see?
No.
In this area? All right. Well,
but you know that man and the woman that were in the room with the telescope, they go running by towards the front entrance as well to leave. He's like dragging her along. Yeah, that's what you see out going on out here.
There's got to be something flammable in the kitchen. I'll go start a fire in there.
Okay. So yeah, there's these people are beating the chef as you go by. But that one's like, seriously, you got to go.
I am. I'm just going this way.
The exit's that way.
Yeah, I'll make my own.
Okay. All right. And then Rob.
So we got to get everybody out of here then? Is that the idea, Mr. Herman? Okay. Well, everybody that's standing, including the waiters and the maid that have been telling us that we got to go, I'll be like, well, you got to go too. Everybody's got to go. And
okay. So here's how we'll handle the rest of this. So your plan is to burn the place down?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll start dragging unconscious, at least the Reverend, maybe.
All right. So let's get a group luck.
Oh, that's
lowest.
Yeah. And I think that would be you,
sorry, guys. Hey, punching people like that don't come naturally. Sometimes you got to get so lucky, that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that is the plan, is to burn the place down and you get a fire set. And then basically how it plays out, you know, the people that are still conscious, like they run this way and that. At any rate, in order to get away before the police arrive, there's a lot of people that, or there could be a lot of people didn't get out of the house before it burned down. But it does burn down, and you do get away before the police arrive. Make sense?
Yes.
So, as you guys find a, you know, there's like cars in the driveway you could snag.
And Mr. Herman brought his vehicle.
And then, right. So, you guys have a way to get away, and you can see like the police as they approach, but they're not stopping people. They're trying to get there to figure out what's going on. So where would you guys like to go? Are you going to go to the squatter house?
Well, I'm guessing that place is compromised unless Mrs. Ellis did something silly.
Wasn't she at the train station?
No, she was going to go there.
But the morning.
In the process of like getting everybody into the car and getting out, then you learn that they decided to go wait at the train station itself. And while they were there is when they got.
Oh, okay. So it still might be okay. Yeah, we could do that.
Honestly, it's not a bad place to hold out even.
Yeah, let's head there then.
Okay. So we'll say that's where you're going to head from Professor Hart's Manor. You're going to go to that house on Cannery Street. It's a big house, and that fire spreads, so you can see it up on the hill for the whole drive. You can see it lighting up the night. But you make it back to that house, and the house is where you realize that Tony's actually pretty wounded. He's losing a lot of blood. But that's what we're going to have to stop for today.
All right.
Thank you, man.
And
thank
you. We'll pick it up there next week. So let's get our luck and skill rolls.
Okay. I only knocked out one person, I think.
99 luck.
Nice. Congrats.
This has been a Death Watch production. Thank you for listening.